Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music is Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, and we are a poetry group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, which is one of the largest sites out there. It's free to join, and if you decide to, or if you're already a member, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices. Just knock and I'll meet you at the door. We are here most nights of the week with different hosts at different start times for different topics, and we would love to hear from you. To call in and participate, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we share the links to all the poetry that we use on the show on the chat wall of our group so that the other poets can follow along. Or, as I said, you can call in and participate. You could also send in a sound clip, and we will play yours for you. As you'll see, we have about 5 of those tonight. And I'm here with my co-host, my big brother, and one of the board members of A Team of Voices, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, me too.
And if I seem silent for a moment, I'm still battling the cough from the chest cold, so a dramatic pause is probably me muted so that you don't have to hear me cough. And right behind Hatter is none other than Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, guys. Nice to be here. Cold. It's been cold over here.
It's snowing pretty good here. We have about an inch so far. But it's only 26 degrees. I'm a little worried about
it. We've done 3 tonight. We've done 8 last night and 3 tonight.
Oh, boy.
Living's been a high today, so it's been a cold day.
Well, I hope you haven't had a reason to leave the house and that you're snug and warm at home.
A little bit. I've been trying to clean the sidewalks off. It's pretty bad. It's cold. I ain't going out there again.
Good. Yeah. That's one of the good things about living here in this townhouse. They do the driveway and whatnot, so luckily I don't have to worry about that part, but you just don't want to have to drive in it, you know? Anyway, I am going to grab a poem and get going because of this nasty cough. I'm just going to try to just get everything in an hour if I possibly can. So I am going to, you know what? We're going to start the show with Wayne's poem because I don't think we get to do that often enough. So Wayne, I'm going to grab your link and then we'll listen to you, your recording.
It's a picture prompt, so you got the picture when you hear it because it's a little on the abstract side, but it's a picture prompt.
Okay. Well, I'm putting your link on the board right now. And then, that's right, you have that's actually the Mad Hatter's hat. If you look on it, it's got the little tag. But anyway, why isn't it? Did it go to the chat wall? Because it's frozen on mine. It says it went, but... Okay, there it is.
There it is.
All righty. So click on that, and I'll go push Wayne's recording.
Yeah, got it.
And get this show on the road. Here we go.
This is Colin. Pick a Card. It's Not Hard. By Wayne Gent. Time went through space, travel was hard. To find the answers, just pick a card. Traveling nowhere fast, into outer space, there's only one to understand, is the diamond's ace. Above the clouds, stuck somewhere in between, if you're going to have a heart, it should be a queen. Sailing through the space to places no one knows. It's always better to place if you don a red rose. Somewhere in the dark universe is the place you're at. If you're cruising style, if you pop your top hat. Thoughts are random, most are in deep and sublime. No need for a pocket watch. There is no time. Staring out across the vast sky, only to see. If you were back home, it would be a little after 3. But speed so fast, everything you have is loose. Look back and you'll find you've lost a deuce. Time has no meaning in space. Space has no time. With plethora of colors, can only remember a line. Out in the distance, you find you journeyed just to stay, thinking it was eons of time, to find out it was only a day. Ian?
Well, that was an unexpected ending, thinking it was eons and it was just a day. sometimes it feels like that. But I like how you went with this above the clouds, stuck somewhere in between. If you are going to have a heart, it should be a queen. I thought that was a really clever line there. And staring out across the vast sky, only the sea, if you were back home, it would be a little after three. With speed so fast, everything you had is loose. Look back and find you lost a deuce. I thought it was really cool, Wayne. I liked the way you did that. You played off all the little aspects of the picture and brought them to life in your words. Cool background music, too. Time has no meaning in space, and space has no time. Great lines. I think you did fabulous with this. What you think, Hatter?
Yeah, space has no time. You know, the outlook or the theory that time is a thing that can be stopped is sort of frightening. Something we can't wrap our head around. But that's what I got on those lines. Time has no meaning in space. Space has no time. Yeah, that's that. If you leave the speed of light, you've gone for 20 minutes, come back, and it's like 30 years later.
Yeah, you'd be younger than you was or something like that.
Crazy. One way to beat your time.
I don't know about it. It's hard to comprehend. I'm trying to imagine that, but it's hard to comprehend.
Well, I guess the first one would have been Rip Van Winkle.
Yes.
In the time.
Great comment,
Hatter. Right.
Yeah, I thought that came out awesome. Okay, if you look on the board, I posted a collaboration between Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider, and I'll give that a reach for them. Do you see it, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Again, this is by Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider, and it's called From Day One, I've Loved You. Here we go. You're the song that makes my loving heart sing. One touch, the warmth and depth of our love fills my soul. You are all and everything true love could bring. I found my completion. You've made my life whole. You are in my thoughts each minute of each day. My heart calls to you on the breeze, whispering softly. Sweetheart, never let our love slip away, for your love means the whole world to me. Babe, the beauty that I see in only you, no mirror could ever give justice to. You're like a wishing star, you shine alone, with a special glow no one else could ever own. I am mesmerized by the love in your eyes that I see. Hypnotized by your charms, I shall always be. You've made all my life's dreams come true, made all the gray skies I once gazed upon blue. You are my lady, my love, and surely my muse. I pray together we'll stay. Your love, I can't bear to lose. End poem. Yeah. Oozing romance. It's got a couple awards, triple set of awards over there. I think that this is absolutely beautiful, and there were so many different pieces that got me. I see you and only you, and no mirror could ever give justice. Or, you've made all my life dreams come true. I mean, so many tender, my heart calls to you on the breeze, whispering softly. I mean, it's just beautiful all the way through. It just, the two of them, other than the fact that he mentioned, you are my lady, So I would imagine that that's Easy Rider's line. You can't usually tell who wrote what because they write together so beautifully. But, yeah, this is amazing. And it was my honor to be the reader. And before I get another comment, let me let Sweet Pea in the room. Hi, Sweet.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I was reading.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry that you were cold.
That's okay.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, this romance that we're all experiencing. I wonder if they go on picnics, you know, midnight bowling. but you're right. This one is probably stanza by stanza, because it sounds like it's traded off, like you said. Yeah, just a classic Hallmark romance. Very good.
Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
That's what I said. I said it's a beautiful collab, back and forth. It's very romantic. If I didn't know better, two people in a poem are probably in love. It's a great poem of flattery, and back and forth is pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Don't make me laugh, Sweet. I'll cough. I just saw your comment on the board. Okay. Will you comment on the poem, please? And thank you, Wayne. Great comment.
Oh yeah, I think you know, the poem is just full of romance, and they make it sound like fairy tale romance can come true. I mean, I think Walt Disney's rolling in his grave. He's wishing he had these two back in the heyday. They definitely could have written for any one of his Cinderella stories. They just script the romance perfectly. It's just so eloquent, is my favorite word with them. It really is. Eloquence is my best word for the way they write.
Yeah, I like that word.
Yeah, but
good voice.
Can you spell it?
E-L-O-Q-U-E-N-C-E, I think. Eloquence.
Yeah, that's it.
I had to think of it for a minute. Yeah, I can spell it.
I think I went and combined it with elegant. Now that I'm going over the spelling in my head, I'm like, wait, that wasn't even the right word.
It's like at the E-L-O-Q. It's the Q that throws you out.
Yeah, yeah. And,
but
and
you know what?
Like,
the cool thing is I can speak into my phone and it'll tell me how to spell it, which is a sad thing because now we don't memorize spelling lists.
Yeah, well, the spell check is the same. You just type your as fast as you can and then look for a red line just in case, because sometimes it's not, you know, you get a typo. So, but I see
what
you mean.
Yeah, you got to watch that.
I see what you mean. It's the same way. Like, I used to know everybody's phone number by heart. Now you just push their name in your phone.
That sucks when you get arrested.
When you were a kid, your phone number? Remember your phone number when you were a kid? I mean, like elementary school?
I know, you knew everybody's phone number, like all your friends and everything.
Yeah.
252-0468.
Now you don't remember any of them. Well, one or two, like I know the studio and I know the guest line and like Kay and Steven. Studio from before. I mean, you know, some things because you dial them over and over again. I don't know. Anyhow.
I know my husband's, yeah.
Well, see, there you go. There's a few that sort of stick, and then the rest. They're just there's a lot in the side of the phone. And
popcorn. to call popcorn?
Popcorn?
For time. Yeah, he called popcorn for time.
Wow. Never heard of that. Never heard of calling popcorn for time.
Yeah,
that must be a California thing. That's a California thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you're right, sweet, because I've never heard it either.
No.
Yeah, we had Ma Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody did back in the day, right?
Well, I don't know. Was it across the country the same thing?
We had Bell,
mm-hmm.
Jersey Bell.
Okay, Jersey Bell.
There was Southern Bell and this Bell and that. Anyway, let's click on Titus's poem and I'll play his recording. And his is from his Earth Angel collection, and you'll notice that the smiling face in the photo that this one's for is Lady A. And I'll bet you she cried when she got her tribute, because that's sort of what Titus does. He writes these amazing poems and he makes us cry. And okay, here we go. I found the button. So here we go.
The Rose Poet Aureate, Lady A. Commendable are the unsung heroes of our time, that listening ear of kindness reaching out for would appear like a rose to emphasize the vows, the warm caress, reflections of a great time, the final words, the social stance presents the color gold my heart compels to praise her, having stirred such kindness. Can forever be foretold, like fairy tales contend to be the comforter, to beautify what is an old world speak. A graceful debonair of gatherings confer the prayer it was, a glorious critique. Submit the full embellishment as does once the kindest heart, a love her voice confronts. The rose augments the greater incentive. A team of voices to add will fulfill first and foremost our Alpha Lady to relive your splendor, for was it not your goodwill? All notions on each other for this occasion, soothing motions lead a romantic era. For I do remember this time of persuasion. Unique are our timelines to give the wearer sanctity, given it was like a blessing given by the gods. Precious words do keep the clearest conscience. My coalescing richly rewarded words with meanings deep, a time honored by the saving grace, I say, how precious a commodity is Lady A.
And with that closing there, a time-honored by saving grace, I say, how precious a commodity is Lady A. There's no way she didn't cry. This is gorgeous. Commendable are the unsung heroes of our time, that listening ears of kindness reaching out for would appear like a rose. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. What a great way to say that you appreciate someone just for listening. Where's that? The rose augments the greater incentive. A team of voices to add will fulfill first and foremost our Alpha Lady to relive your splendor, for was it not your goodwill? How could she get to hear this and not be deeply touched by all the beautiful sentiment? And what a gorgeous way of saying that she's appreciated. Another beautiful of 147 of these that he's done for the people around the poetry site. An absolutely amazing gift. and a very, very touching and appreciated one. What you think, Wayne?
Well, Lady A, I said a great tribute to a great poet and lady. I miss hearing the voice and the commenting we had. Next time I saw her, she died when we was pontooning down the Mississippi River in my poem. That was a sad poem, a sad day for a poem. I miss her a lot, and this poem is perfect for her. She is the Lady A. Ian?
Cool comment. Thank you, Wayne. And Hatter?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think like a new house coat at Christmas, I think she's still wearing this around, and deservedly so. Yeah, what can you say about Titus, man? Just, I like to sit and write with him. I like to know his, you know, his the way he writes, the structure, how he writes, what his ideas are for him. I don't know. One day I'd like to write like him. I try to say.
Great comment, Hatter. And Sweet, before you read, will you comment for Titus, please?
Absolutely. What a gorgeous tribute for Lady A. You know, she wears her heart on the sleeve, and he just captured that, her sentimental side, her loving side, her giving side. She does have that glowing heart, and I love soothing motions led a romantic error, for I do remember this time of persuasion. Unique are timelines to give this wearer sanctity, given it was like a blessing. It just describes Lady A's brightness, and very, very well done, Titus. I know she probably has this hung up, memorized. She definitely deserves that light and that special place in your Earth Angels. So thank you for that for her. I found it beautiful. All right. Now I got to get back to the board.
Great comment, Sweet.
Thank you. Let me refresh the board, see if I can find me up there. There I am.
Sweet.
This is Dandy. Yes.
Oh, I see it. Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea. There I am. This is called Dandelion Wine. The gym still smelled of sweat, coffee, and stale cigarettes. But a squint of your eyes and teal green paper mache transcends the mundane into an aquatic solarium. Wearing white gloves and a cornflower blue dress, edged in chantilly lace, cinnamon curls caressed the bisque skin of her cherub face. She sat in silence, a perfect imitation of Jack Kennedy's grace. His stature loomed over her in shadows 10 feet tall, with gray eyes that reminded her of storm clouds after the rain. Already drafted for the war, a harlot would be born. They slow danced, drank the fizzy punch, and listened to random chatter. She catered to all the good girl personifications, as a Jezebel raged inside the cage of her innocent flesh charade. In a motel room with shag green carpet and brown cockroaches, he poured dandelion wine into dingy low cups, and they floated into a world of giggles and pleasures, extending moments into memories. She retreated 4 hours, gone, one empty bottle of dandelion sweetness, an exhausted girl, not a harlot or a Jezebel or a scarlet letter parabel, but with a glimpse into her feminine wiles, with a delightful smile. He never returned home, was killed in action. She protested the war and marched for peace, and still drinks dandelion wine when storm clouds look gray after the rain. And poem.
Well, sweet, that was stunning. What a story for that art. I don't think that art could be more blessed than to have you write what you just wrote for it. I was pulled in to the story with your details, like his statue loomed over her in shadows 10 feet tall with gray eyes that reminded her of storm clouds after the rain, already drafted for the war. Tonight a harlot would be born. And you say that, but then later on you remind us that it's not the case. Not a Jezebel, not a scarlet letter parable, just a glimpse of her feminineness, and I thought that was beautiful. And then that closing stanza, I can't imagine anybody reading this and not being moved by all of it, and then getting to sorry, getting to that last stanza there and getting the gut punch of him being killed in action and then never coming back. I think that this is a gorgeous piece.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed. But I usually
thank am.
Thank
Wayne,
you.
Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I said amazing. It's hard to comment on something as deep as this. The first point is the story is wonderful, but doesn't compare to the way it was written. It was memorizing all the way through, touching, emotional, wonderful ride to the highest magnitude. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's got to be the untold stories of war. You know, you can put numbers of losses, but each one of those losses has got a story that you could plug into. You could plug this into the story. What was the movie of Mrs. Robinson? Was it Mrs. Robinson? Wasn't The Graduate, where this younger guy's been hangs around this older lady at the beach, and then she gets a letter. Her husband had been killed in action.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Robinson.
Was it?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
Well, that was The Graduate. Okay, yeah, Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, that's. I'm not quite sure, but I. Something like that.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. So it's got to be a sad, sad thing. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Hatter.
Great comments, everyone. And Hatter, your poem's on the board.
Oh, boy. Okay. Down the hall, boom. Apologize in advance. Some things are better left alone. The search of gold, I found the seeds gathered below the wisdom tree. Iced with stars, so I will know where to hide when the wind does blow. Among the riches that falls as leaves, the words are found growing from seeds. It's all designed to start out as vines, creeping along the walls, telling the tales we all know too well, knowing we can't have it all. Waiting for those that only write prose, knowing it cannot take back. Writing in rhyme one at a time, wondering if that's where it's at. Kept in a row to watch it grow, sown by early spring, cleansed by desire while flying higher and higher, teaching the blind how to sing. Wisdom can't see what falls from the trees, painting the grays onto stones, crowding the lines that got left behind. Some things are better left alone. Yeah.
Sorry, Wayne, I didn't realize you didn't see it. It's right above those last four I just put there. And Hatter, you know, I've noticed that you quite often say, you don't have to read mine, it's not that good anyway. And no. I must say, you're just full of it.
well,
I think
thank you.
You're welcome. Waiting for those that only write prose, knowing it cannot take back, writing in rhyme one at a time, wondering if that's where it's at. Sorry.
That's where it's at.
I know, I had a mute.
Poor Deb.
Yeah, cough, cough. It's okay.
I know.
Well, I was saying earlier that I try to just sit back and not say much because talking sends me coughing, but whatever. I like that the closing stanza too, Hatter. Wisdom can't see what falls from the trees, painting the grays onto stones, crowding the lines that got left behind. Some things are better left alone. And I wondered where you were going to go when I transferred your link up to the list and I saw the title, because if you look at the tree line behind the one in the art, there's not another tree there that's as stunning as that one, and it stands alone, and in the case of that tree, absolutely better than anything around it. It's a stunning view. So I really like the title and where you took this. And I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
But it's a beautiful picture. When I was living up with the rich and famous, I've described it before, that if you drive up the long driveway in this house I took care of, you pass this island that had like a volcano. They called it a volcano for ponds. It would run water out of it, then it went to each koi pond all the way through the island and then under the driveway, then in front of the house, then under the house to the front and the back. And at Christmas time, I got permission to put Christmas lights. I spent the Christmas alone, so it was amusing. It was just amusing myself. But I was able to put these LED light strings of lights into the trees on the island, and it was quite beautiful. And that's what that picture reminded me of. Merry Christmas. In fact, I got pictures of it.
It reminded me of like a Christmas tree-ish thing too, but with the stars behind it, so I can see why it took you to the houses there at the lake. But
yeah.
Great share. Wayne, what do you think?
I thought it was a cool poem. It's got a lot of great internal rhyme in it. And I think it's the way you covered everything from the prose and the rhyme to the wisdom can't see all the way to the creeping along the walls, growing from the seeds. Just everything about the words you talked about was just smooth right on. It's good rhyme all the way through, and I liked it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment, Wayne. Sweet, before you comment, how much longer will you be able to stay?
Oh, probably till we're done with four poems.
Oh, cool. There's three with recordings and one that needs to be read. Will you read that one for me? I can read through another one. Okay, cool.
That's okay.
Comment.
I thought he was teasing me. When I read these lines, I went, Hatter, are you talking to me? I just thought it was funny the way I took it. Waiting for those that only write prose, knowing it cannot take back, writing in rhyme one at a time, wondering if that's where it's at, kept in a row to watch it grow, sown by early spring, cleansed by desire while flying higher and higher, teaching the blind how to sing. Wisdom can't see what falls from the trees, painting the grays on the stones, crowding the lines that got left behind. Some things are better left alone. Huh, sounds like advice given by Hatter when my lines are too long or too short or they don't make a form, and I could have rhymed that line, but why don't I make it longer or shorter and make it better, make it look like a flow? Somehow this just
reminded me of all the advice Hatter has given me. I don't know why I took your poem this way, because it's quite beautiful. But in my head, it just rang back and forth to all the things you've told me. So I'm going to take this as you wrote it for me, because that's as simple as it could be.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless. Thank you, sweets.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And the one I need you to read is Lockdown Lark, please.
Okay. Not a problem. I will do that. All right. This is a Sierra by Lockdown Lars. More than 2 million kilometer distance is an interplanetary place where a Voyager flies persistent, listening for sounds of deep space, past winds of Titan, plasma oscillating, and Jupiter's magnetic crackling fields as Saturn's blue polar aurora sing a Neptune soundscape serenity yields. Yet deeper are black hole quasars, leading the drama and leading the drama and tragedies as supernovas string their pulsars. Might we see a leading lady? In space there files no Syria sound. Air is needed to vibrate an ear's kiss. Perhaps tenor or baritone may be found, but exclusive is the conductor of all this. End of poem. Interesting. Wow.
Great.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said great read. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I like the sound of this, for many people think there is no sound in space, that space is silent. But I think if you really listen, you probably hear a lot of things in space.
I bet you're right. But I put the art that he wrote to on the chat wall under his poem so you guys could take a peek at it. But, yeah, I like, where was that? Past winds of Titan plasma oscillating and Jupiter's magnetic crackling fields as Saturn's blue polar auras sing and Neptune's soundscape serenity yields. But I could just imagine all the things he said being those sounds that you just mentioned, sweet. They must be out there. You would think that any of us who were in space were in a space suit. How do you know what it sounds like out there? You're locked in your space suit. I don't know. But I thought that this came out really cool. And I like the title, Space Opera. I thought that was clever. And it's an award winner, too. Congrats on your award. And thanks for supporting the show, LL. Appreciate it. Wayne, what you think?
Unmuted.
His either his call dropped or he had to go. What you think, Heather?
Yeah, they have... They were able to record the sounds the planets make, what a pulsar sounds like, and some of them are terrifying to hear the sounds that it makes. I'm wondering if he's talking a little bit about that, because he does make him to be quite intimidating, I guess. But, past winds of Titan, Jupiter's magnetic crackling fields. I bet he's heard them. You can go online and for the sounds of the planet their solar system makes, listen to each planet. It's quite terrifying, some of them.
That sounds cool. I think I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let me grab the next poem. like I said, these are the last three, and they all have recordings. So let me put this one right here and send. Okay, that's by Gerald, so click on that, and I will get his recording. And then we have one from JCA and one from Phil. So here we go from Gerald Green.
Take, for instance, written and read by Gerald Green. Take, for instance, blue. Take, for instance, yellow. Take, for instance, color and its reflection in our lives, like days of yellow where life shines full, a splendor where ideas flow and words bend minds, or days of blue where clouds smother what could have been. Take, for instance, the day we met. I was instantly drawn to how you spoke, how you looked, how you moved. Take, for instance, those times of yellow where you and I faced the wind and laughed at what made others weep, standing naked as if it made a difference. Take, for instance, when you made your first sale, how it changed your view of life, how it modified who you were, turning a graduate into a capitalist. Take, for instance, the day you fell in love with the ugliest puppy alive, brought it home, and led it into our lives. An animal that became family, making each day yellow, smiling with a wagging tail, laughing with a sloppy tongue. Yellow beamed upon us as we walked. No, skipped through months together, weaving our tapestry of fun as if no force could come between. Friends grew like weeds, dandelions in the sunlight, casting yellow hues into unnoticed shadows. You glowed on days like that, showing depth and strength, a metamorphosis of wisdom and grace rising. Although yellow was made of green and blue, we never noticed the blue until there was no green. Days when rain interrupted schedules and snow turned boulevards into alleys of danger seemed blue, slowed but never held us back. We stood before the God of Blue, taunting with our youth, daring him to draw his sword and thrust in our direction, knowing we would parry and move on. Ignoring Blue, we lived as one, spreading yellow like a potion, healing as we went from one memory to another until that day, the time you failed to make a person smile. The doctor's wrinkled brow cast blue upon a room filled with machines and tubes and people wearing scrubs of blue. You laid on that bed, connected to modern medicine, computing life's strength with each pulse and breath, reporting numbers on a high-tech screen. In that instant, I felt the danger, watched as green evaporated like a withered leaf, morphing yellow into blue. Yesterday, I planted daisies next to the plaque with your name, above the place where your ashes lay, casting rays of yellow on a cloudy day. End poem.
Wow. You know, I really liked the way he took us on that journey through color, with stuff like, take for instance, the day we met, I was instantly drawn to how you spoke, how you looked, how you moved. And each section has that. And I had this little grin when you said, take for instance, the day you fell in love with the ugliest puppy alive and brought it home and let it into our lives. I don't know why that just tickled my fancy. It made me giggle, which is not a good thing today, that makes me cough, but I thought that was sweet. All the little endearing pieces that, like I said in the beginning, took us through by use of color. I like then we change emotions, and he said, the doctor's wrinkled brow cast blue upon a room filled with machines and tubes and people wearing scrubs of blue. And you laid on the bed connected to modern medicine, computing life's strength with each pulse of breath reporting numbers on a high-tech screen. And then we go into, you know, the danger. But there was so much emotional pull as we went on this journey. And who would have thought that a picture of the color wheel would bring some masterpiece of emotion like this? I had, like I said, I giggled over the puppy. I got emotional over the machines and that doctor's brow. This was like a journey through snippets of life. And he did a fabulous job. Thank you so much, Gerald. Appreciate it very much. Sweet, what you think?
Well, from Yellow Brick Roads to Coldplay Tunes. Now I follow another, you know, to Gerald Green. Yellow has more meaning tonight than it did yesterday. This is remarkable. And it's just another, you know, journey where color invades our life. And he just has that ability to take you through every emotion and everything. And even at the end, kind of make you smile in remnants of love. And I thought that was beautiful.
Great comment, sweet. And Hunter, what did you think?
Yeah, that line with the puppy, you know, that's Bobby Goldsboro. And honey, I miss you. Remember the song Bobby Goldsboro? But honey,
I was gonna say, yeah, I have heard that song.
Yeah, you brought a puppy home on Christmas Eve. Brought a puppy home for her on Christmas Eve. It was beautiful. It gave me a warm fuzzy.
Great comment, Hatter. Okay, you guys, we have two more. If you go ahead and click on the one from JCA, I will push his recording.
Got it.
Okay, here we go.
Ice Metal Casket by JCA. Egress the throne of yellow blackened bones, baptized in the ripples of the koi pond and ice metal caskets. Patriarchal DNA from fish tank shard glass to the tempered tantrum chop shop. Fiddle sticks sans the roll call, just occupancy in the scuba remains bag. Onyx rubbish sacks caress the cold cadaver, casket lid closed.
Wow. You know, that title itself is chilling. And I swear, no pun intended, ice metal casket. Well, I mean, it's just... Wow, I don't even know what else to say there. Egress the throne of yellow blackened bones, baptized in the ripples of the koi pond and ice metal caskets. There's just something so sadly powerful about the thought of that. And with that power and the direction that we're taking, I would have never expected to find the word fiddlesticks. Sends the roll call, just occupancy in the scuba remains bag. And that's a sobering image right there. the remains in the bag. And if you, I mean, look at that throne, which is in his art, in the recording underneath, that chair there, the bone chair, is the art that he chose. And I think that the, like I said, I guess the word just keeps coming back to me, sobering, the thought of death is very prominent. And from the very first time I heard Jay read, he had brought up brevity. And at that time, I was blown away. And then time after time, he showed me that he is a master of brevity. And this is just some more proof of that. Awesome share. Thanks for recording it and for writing for the show, Jay. Appreciate it. Sweet, what'd you think?
Hold on. I was trying to get off mute, and I was already off mute. I'm like, I can't find my mute button, but I wasn't on mute. I love Jay's darkness. And when you start off with egress the throne of yellow, blackened bones, baptized in the ripples of the koi pond and ice metal caskets, where else do you go? I mean, how dark, how deep, how, but he does. He just takes us even deeper. I mean, onyx rubbish sacks caress the cold cadaver, casket rid coves. I mean, those are your beginning and end, and yet you can even be terrorized right there. Fish tank, shard glass, tempered tantrum chopstick. There are so many great words in here. I mean, I know I could read the whole thing over, which I practically am. It's just like a shiver. You just shiver through the whole thing. That's what it is. It's a chill, an absolute chill, and I think he establishes that from word one to word done, and just enjoy yourself as he literally chokes you and makes you feel like he's closing that lid on you and you are the cold cadaver. Very well done, JCA.
Great comment. Shivers. I like that. Was a good, a great verb, a great adjective too. Heather, what you think?
Yeah, I was going to ask what is the definition of egress, but I looked it up. To make a path of, it did a number of different meanings, but he writes really cryptic. I wish he was here so we could ask him about what he means in the beginning, because in the scuba remains bag and then the casket really close, you have to lead up to it. So I'd like to know what the meaning. Very cryptic. It's sort of really strong metaphors. Fish tank shard glass. The tempered tantrum chop shot.
Well, if you read his author notes, it's really about a, yeah, it tells you. He was upset at a girl that broke his fish tank. So he killed her, chopped her up in pieces, that he spread pieces around. Just read it. It's pretty gross.
I see that now. I should have done to do that.
it's pretty graphic on this murderer and what he did and how he did it. And, yeah. So he basically chopped his victims up, put him in metal caskets and all of that. So,
yeah. It's basically what I thought it was, too.
Yeah.
What did
you
hear?
So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Now you understand.
I do.
Yeah.
Great comment, you guys. And The last poem for tonight is by Phil the Poet. If you want to go ahead and click on his link, I will push play. Just tell me when you see it.
I'm running down the hall. I see it. There.
All right. Then I'll push play. And here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Blossoming Cactus. Deep within a lifeless desert, where no rain falls and dry bones are the only evidence that life once strives in this dust bowl, lies a cactus that flowers underneath the blazing sun. Pink as my darling's lipstick, and just as prickly too. With death all around, it's amazing to see life rising like a phoenix from the dust-covered ground. Tumbleweeds dance around the blossoming cactus like a prairie dog on heat. In the middle of July, rattlesnakes and sidewinders leave trails leading to the place where they worship the cactus with the sacrifice of roadkill. The final sight of a dying man sees is the sign of life that blossoms in a wasteland full of decay, a rain of hope for life to rise again. End poem.
Oh, while I'm commenting, if you peek on the board, I put the art he wrote to right under his link. Obviously the title is directly linked to the art, but then on that deep within a lifeless desert where no rain falls and dry bones are the only evidence that life once strived in a dust bowl. I like the way he put that. The only evidence is just the lifeless, dry desert. And then you find this cactus, and under the sun, the pink is my darling's lipstick, and then I got a grin when he said, and just as my darling's lipstick, and just as prickly too. That made me giggle. Tumbleweeds dance around the blossoming cactus like a prairie dog on heat in the middle of July. I never know where a piece of art might take Phil, and it's always really interesting to find out where he takes us. And I mean, he took us to the critters of the area that would, you know, live around the same as that cactus. But that last stanza, the final sight a dying man sees, and the sight life is the sigh of life that blossoms in the wasteland full of decay, a rain of hope for life to rise again. And I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful ending. And then suddenly when you think of all the beautiful things around it and some of the things he mentioned, it doesn't seem so lifeless anymore. And that's one of those full circle moments where you take us back to the actual beauty in the middle of that desolate area. So I thought that was an impressive piece. Thank you, Phil. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I wonder if Phil's been to the desert. The last line, the last stanza, the final sight the final sight the dying man sees is the sign of life that blossoms in the wasteland full of decay. You know, that is so deep, because that's exactly right. It's like when you're tested, your mortality is tested, nothing that had a price tag means anything anymore at that second. And you could still see the sign of life in the wasteland of decay. It's called hope. Yeah, a rain of hope for life. Let's rise again. Beautifully done. And that's a
great
prickly pear, I believe. I think that's a prickly pear, and they are killer cactus. They have the needles that you can't see.
Yeah,
you'll rub
against
the gaze, and there'll be the little fiber there. Oh, hate them.
Excellent comment, And my sweet, you get the last poetic comment of the night, my dear.
Well, like you said, Phil can write on anything, and he has this ability to surprise you, impress you, blow you away, and this is one. This is like such a somber poem that surprised me at the end because, you know, details bring you full circle to this beauty, but then you feel the suffering of a dying man. It's such a dichotomy of where are you taking me? And can we really realize how beautiful life is in our final moments? Is that when we finally appreciate the beauty of life, when we no longer have it to live? I thought that was so deep and so powerful.
Awesome comment. Fabulous poem. Just double checking that we got all of them. Okay, we got everything in, and I just put the link for my show next week on there. So there are a whole bunch of choices, a bit of variety, but quite a few of them are on the dark-ish side. And there's a nice variety. And it's also a bunch of photos that I found on Pinterest. I realized that I have like 6 or 20 topics that I could cover just in my Pinterest photo file. So I thought maybe I would do the next couple with those and just throw a whole bunch of variety at you and see what sticks. And I think I mentioned this last week. It helps me learn what everybody likes so that I can keep the photo prompts interesting and inspiring, because if I can't tickle your muse, we can't get these amazing shows that we keep getting.
Can you write them more than one?
Yes.
These are great pictures.
Good, I'm glad. That's here where you, and as you scroll, I want it to be hard for you to choose one. But like I said, it's also I put stuff that I think you'll like, but I like when you don't choose any of them and you show me something new that you like so that I can keep them coming. So yeah, there is a method to my madness, and that would be it. Isn't that cool? Yeah. But like I said, there's a pretty cool variety too. I think, you know, there's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little bit of something.
Choices
for everyone.
Be hard.
Well, that's my goal every week, is for the art that I choose to be so inspiring that everyone has a hard time choosing. So I'm glad to hear that it's working on this one. So before I go into the next coughing fit, let me thank my amazing board members, Sweet P and Mr. J. Hutter, my big brother, and our sponsor and board member, A.P. Taylor. Appreciate the three of you more than you know. And I want to thank Angel and Easy Rider. I want to thank Wayne and Titus and Gerald, and JCA, and Lockdown Larks, and Phil the Poet. The amazing poetry that you send every week is what makes these shows special. They're special because each of you are, and I appreciate you very much. And I think on that note, I'm just going to get off the phone because I'm going to go find my inhaler and chill for a little while and cry because both the Steelers and the Eagles got spanked today. Boo-hoo.
Oh,
anyway.
So did the Browns.
Yeah, a lot of shockers this wild card weekend. So I think now I'm going to have to root for Detroit because they're the Cinderella.
Me too. Go Detroit. We're on
Niners are healthy. They're going to walk right through it. No problem.
Yeah,
no,
but
good
luck. 32 years, Detroit won a playoff game. Imagine what it would be like for them if they...
It'd be since 1950-something they won a Super Bowl or were in a Super
Wouldn't
Bowl.
Wouldn't that be cool? So that's where my head's at. And it's, great minds think alike, obviously.
Yeah. Well,
but,
you know...
good night.
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you back.
See you guys.
Love and respect, everyone. Thank you.
Go,
night, Hatter.
Go rest, Ev.
Night, sweet.
Night.
Good night.